And start in verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And then jump to chapter 23 and verse 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Tonight, we're going to look at a New Testament church. But one thing we have to understand, and it's good to remember, there's a lot of new ideas about New Testament church. There's a lot of ideas coming around and new thoughts of how to do this, how to do that. We don't need a whole lot of new thoughts. We need to stick to the old ways. And some people might call it old and ancient and, you know, boring. I call it the Word of God. And as long as we're doing what the Word of God says, that's all that matters. And so something we have to keep in mind, you know what? It might be old school to do things the way we do it. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes we need a little bit of old school. And when it comes to God's word, we need to get as old as we can because, you know, the word of God's from everlasting. So it's pretty old. God knows what he's doing. And it needs to stay that exact same way. And so tonight, as we look at that, keep that in mind that, you know what? Some of the things that we believe, that we preach, teach, practice, are not popular in the world. They're not popular among so-called Baptists. It's okay to not be popular with among men as long as we are popular with God. And, you know, that as long as we are doing it what God wants, that's what matters. So turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Like I said, we're going to talk about New Testament church. First thing about it is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What's amazing thing about the New Testament church is it is the house of God. It is where God dwells. It is where God, it says it's a habitation of God. This is where God meets with his people. Turn to Matthew 18. I'm going to tell you this right now. None of the verses I'm going to bring forth tonight are groundbreaking. You've never heard before. It's all things we've heard before, but it's things that we need to keep in mind and constantly remember because God talked a lot about his New Testament church. God put a lot of emphasis on the New Testament church and how it's supposed to be and what it is. And we need to remember that because if we're going to be found in favor of God, if we're going to be a Scripture New Testament church, we kind of got to know what a Scripture New Testament church is. We kind of got to look into the Scriptures and see what he says. But Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you understand that when we are in church capacity, every single time that we are in church capacity, Jesus Christ is here with us in this building right now? Do you understand how amazing that is? How amazing it is that when we have a revival services, every night Jesus Christ is with us. When we have a youth rally, every night or every youth rally that we have, Jesus Christ is with us. Every time that we are in church capacity, Jesus Christ is here. Yeah. This is his dwelling place. This is his home. This is where he inhabits. How amazing is that to know that our Savior is with us right here and now? And if you are not saved or you're not a member of this New Testament church, you don't understand how amazing it is to be in a Scripture New Testament church. You don't understand how amazing it is to come into the presence of God and feel that Spirit inside of you. I hope that you can know that one day. If you're lost, you can get saved. And if you're saved, you need to get baptized and join New Testament church. Because I guarantee you, there is nothing like a feeling when you are right with God and you are in fellowship with him in his New Testament church. There is nothing quite like this feeling. I guarantee you, this is the closest we can get to heaven on earth, is in this New Testament church with God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. It is where God meets with his people. And we are to be here when it's appointed time. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm sure all of you know what verse I'm going to read. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. It is our job as a New Testament church to be here in church capacity when the time is here. Because if we don't show up, guess what? Church isn't going to have services. Well, I can slack off. It's okay if I don't go to this service because everyone else is going to be there. It's okay for me to miss this one. It's okay for me to miss that one. You know, go read the stories. Thomas missed a pretty important church service, and he kind of felt ashamed of it afterwards. I can't say this for certain. I'm pretty sure Thomas didn't miss many church services after that. You miss a church service, you're missing an opportunity to be with your Lord and Savior, with God Himself. There's not a church service that we should miss, and it's, oh, that's not that important. Oh, it doesn't work into my schedule. Change your schedule. There's no better place to be than here. Turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I love these verses, because it said, as soon, and they shall blow them, and when the trumpets got blown, they were to assemble. Amen. Except, unless, unfortunately, or only if, no. It didn't matter what they were doing in their life. They could be in the middle of who knows what. Guess what? You're supposed to drop everything and be there when God has said assemble. Amen. How precious is it to have these times where we can assemble? Because you know what? We are so spoiled that we can assemble as often as we do. People used to barely make it. And not because they were lazy and they didn't want to. Because they physically couldn't. They were refused being able to go there. They had to walk out and think, some people probably died on the way to church some days. You know how lucky we are to just show up three times a week? How lucky we are to have youth rallies 9 months out of the year? How lucky we are to have, I mean, Wednesday night services, have revivals, have all these things that we have that we take for granted? How lucky we are to have so many opportunities to meet with God, and we just, it's not that big of a deal. It should be. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You want to see the beauty of the Lord? Get into the house of God. Turn to Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is a man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. How many of us have this opinion, have this mindset, have this heart condition when we come into God's house? Or is it, I got to show up, I got to put on uncomfortable clothes, I got to sit down in these uncomfortable pews, I just got to get it taken care of and then I'm good. I just got to sit here and make an appearance. If you're just sitting here making an appearance, you're missing how amazing it is to be in God's house. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's okay, I'm watching it online, or, you know, I don't have to be it physically in person, it's okay. It's not the same.
Amen.
I can't stress this enough, there is nothing like being in God's house when you are in fellowship with God. And on top of that, when a church is revived and a church is in fellowship with God, there is, I mean, I can't put into words how amazing it is. You get to see the beauty of God. You get to see how amazing God is when you're in his church. Now, you're not physically seeing God, but your spirit, that inward man that you have, it should get revived. It should get uplifted. It should be an exciting time. Something that we look forward to, circle on our calendars every day. I got to get to this church service. I got to get to that church service. It should be how we are, but how often is it that we don't actually care about it? Turn to Exodus chapter 40. You know, we're not going to go into all the ins and outs of a New Testament church. One thing we have to understand, though, it is a church. A church is a local body that has to assemble together. There is no universal church. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, I got some more verses. We can look in that. We're not going to touch on that right now, but it is a special place to be here. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud bowed thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Do you understand? When the tabernacle was reared up and the glory of the Lord was there, it was a sight to see. You know, we might not have the physical sight of the cloud and the fire coming down, but it is the same exact situation when we are in New Testament church capacity. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen, is what Ephesians 3:21 says. So picture this, you know, if you need help understanding how precious it is to come into a New Testament church and those church services, picture a giant cloud filling this area. Picture the pillar of fire. Whatever you have to do, because I can't remember where it's at, but I just think of Joshua. When he was stood in the court of God, and he was just standing in awe, seeing the glory of God in that tabernacle. How many of us just stand in awe, thinking how amazing it is to be here today? How many of us thought, oh, I just got to show up. I got better things I need to do, but I got to go to church because it's, you know, I have to do it. It's my obligation. You know, a lot of people would say, I don't think there's a single person in here that would raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm just here because it's my obligation. But you know your heart, and God knows your heart. God knows the reason why you're here today. He knows if you're here to give him glory or not. It's important that we have to do that. Turn to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. You know, we already said it. When church is to be assembled, you show up at church services. You know, we might not have all the verses that says you have to be, you know, Wednesday is the day you have to show up for church. It's just as good. You know what it says? So much the more as you see the day approaching. Yeah. It doesn't matter when we have services throughout the week, you know. We could have services every single night. They would just be, every single service would be just as much of a service as anything else. Yeah. You don't have to understand. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. How many of us could imagine showing up to Sunday service, getting into church, having a service, and staying here till midnight? All night long, all day, we'll spend in God's house. How many of us would be exhausted after, you know, how many of us get to 12 o'clock in the afternoon and think, man, he's got to wrap it up. Man, it's got to be done. I can't stand it anymore. How many of us could imagine going all the way to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock? How many of us could just want, in our heart, desire every single second of Sunday be in the God's house? You see here, it was a normal thing for them to do that. But then verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. You know, how many of us would be like Eutychus here? You know, Brother Dale mentions it. If the word of God was written today, how many of us would want our stories told? I don't know if Eutychus really loved the story being told of him falling asleep and dying, but how many of us would be just like him? We get it certain, get wore out thinking, I can't handle it anymore. I got to go to sleep. It's too much. You know, is God's work really too much for us? If God's work is becoming too much, there's too much going on, there's too much to do, cut some other things out of your life. There's nothing more important than God's work. We sometimes need to change our mindset and quit thinking of God's work as extracurriculars. It should be your life. Deuteronomy says it's not a vain thing, for it is your life. But how many of us, our life is centered around God? I can't get enough of God. When can I be around God again? When can I be around his people again? Or is it, got super, you know, my wife and I like to call it super church week, when we got, you know, youth meeting and ladies meeting and church service and visitation and preacher school and all these things. Man, it gets exhausting. When you have the wrong mindset, it does get exhausting. When you have the right mindset of how exciting it is to be around God and God's people and his word, you kind of look forward to those weeks a little bit. I guarantee you, change your mindset, you'll start looking at church services a little bit different. You'll start seeing an excitement to be here. And why is it special? Because, like I already said, this is where God meets with his people. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And one thing that I know I take for granted so often is, you know, when we sit here and we think about church, There's a lot of people who have dedicated their life to a church or to a religion. And the sad reality is there's a lot of people who have dedicated their life to a false thing, to a useless thing, to something that's not important. And so how much more should it be convicting to me that I can't dedicate myself to something that I know is a true house of God, that I know is where he wants us to be? And how we know that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you realize that without the Holy Spirit as comforter in a New Testament church, they are not a New Testament church? You realize how narrow that gets in life, how narrow it is to think, you know, there's not a billion churches out there that all have their own way to worship. There is one right way of God. Now, that's old school, and that's, you know, hate speech these days to say that. No, there is what God set up, and that his church has the comforter that has been passed down from the seashores of Galilee all the way to today. If you don't have the Holy Spirit as comforter, you are not a Scripture New Testament church. Okay. It doesn't matter how good you are, how much you preach. It doesn't matter if you preach the exact same thing we do. If you don't have the Holy Spirit as comforter, you are not a Scripture New Testament church. That's kind of harsh to say. Guess what? God said it, not me. Turn to James chapter 1, or James chapter 2. Actually, hold your finger here in James chapter 2. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Somewhere in here. There it is. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. One thing you have to understand too, God and Jesus Christ has to be the head of the New Testament church. If anybody but Jesus Christ is the head of the New Testament church, again, it is not a Scripture New Testament church. It's amazing how God has these specific little instructions. Jesus Christ has to be the head. You take him out of the head, you're no longer a church. Jesus, or the Holy Spirit Comforter has to be in that church. You take him out of that, you're not a New Scripture New Testament church. Yeah. You realize how narrow-minded that sounds? Yeah. Guess what? God's pretty narrow-minded in how he does things. Amen. I didn't make the rules. You know what? I would have a little bit more leeway if I made the rules. I don't have to worry about that. God made the rules. You just have to follow them. Now turn to James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know, I think about this. I'll be honest, I might take this a little bit out of context, but a body without a spirit is dead. You know what a church body without the Holy Spirit as comforter is? Dead. It's nothing. It's a group of people getting together. Great. Doesn't mean it's anything for God. That Holy Spirit of Comforter has to be there. If not, it's nothing through God. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Actually, on your way to Acts chapter 8, stop in Acts chapter 2. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about New Testament church, so it's hard to pick and choose which ones to use. Acts chapter 2, starting verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, and they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is when the Holy Spirit took up his office work as comforter. You know where that happened? The Church of Jerusalem. If you were to have the Holy Spirit, guess what you have to have? Lineage to the Church of Jerusalem. Can you pass down something you've never had? No. So if you've never had the Holy Spirit as comforter, you can't just magically get it without getting passed down. You know what that's called? It's called lineage. It's important to have lineage because it doesn't, like I said, you can have churches, and there are churches out there that preach the exact same way we do, use the exact same Bible we do, probably say better words and speak better than I can, and all of us, and probably know more, can quote more scriptures than any of us. You know what? If they don't have lineage, they are not a Scripture New Testament church. And it is sad that there's a lot of people who are deceived about that, that they don't want to accept that. But turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. God gave us blueprints of how to get a Scripture New Testament church. Acts chapter 8 is the first one that I think of. Verse 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching these things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John. And when they were come down, prayed for them, and they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen on none of them, Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid their hands on him, they received the Holy Ghost. You see here, this is when the church of Samaria started. What's the process of that? People got saved, people got baptized, and the church of Jerusalem extended the arm, extended the branch with Peter and John, and they laid their hands on that, and they received the Holy Spirit. That's right. That's how you start a New Testament church. Amen. If you go outside of that order, you are not a Scripture New Testament church. Right. The example is the same throughout the whole time. Turn to, Acts chapter 19. There's examples in Acts chapter 10, I believe it is, and chapter 12, and there's just the whole book of Acts talks about it. Yeah. But Acts 19, and verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And they said unto them, unto then what were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on the Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. This is the start of the church at Ephesus. What happened? You see, people got saved. They were scripturally baptized by Paul when he was there. They laid their hands on him. Paul was sent by the church of Antioch to start churches. And they got the Holy Spirit as comforter. Now, they had the Holy Spirit in salvation, but this Holy Spirit in verse 6, when the Holy Spirit came on them, that is a different thing. That is him as comforter. That is a scriptural New Testament church starting. Amen. If that is not the order, I don't care all the excuses you have. If that's not the order that you were started, you are not a scriptural New Testament church. If you can't follow the chain all the way back to the seashores of Galilee when Jesus started the church at Jerusalem, it is not a scriptural New Testament church. That's really hard to understand. Yes, it is hard to understand. It is hard to accept, but it's the truth. And I ask this question. Why play the games? Why maybe, suppose we're wrong. Why get a little cavalier with it? Why not be safer, better safe than sorry when it comes to the Word of God? Because you know what? It doesn't matter how much you can do all these great things for God. If you're not in the order that He wants it to be, you know what you don't get to be a part of? The Bride of Christ. You know, you don't get to be a saint of God. You know, you don't get that new city, Jerusalem, to be a part of. So why take chances? If we see it in the Word of God, do it exactly the way the Word of God said to do it. Don't come up with our own spin on it. If it says it in the Word of God, do it that way. Why take the chance? Why gamble with our eternity with God? It's not that hard. Just do what God wants us to do. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We already read it in 1 Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We have to know what the truth is. How can you know what the truth is? John, did I say 16? Yeah, John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. How are you going to know the truth without the Spirit of God guiding you into that truth? That's what the Comforter is for, to guide you into truth. So if you don't have the Spirit, Holy Spirit as Comforter, guess what you're not going to have? Truth. You might get close. You might have some ideas. I guarantee you, every single New Testament church, so-called, that doesn't have the Comforter, you pin them down, there's going to be something that they're off on. There's going to be something that they just can't get right. You want to know why? Because they don't have the Comforter to guide them. And we have to be careful of that, because there's a lot of them that can get really, really close. You know what our job is? To know what's true and what's not true. To get into the Word of God, to uphold the truth, so that way when we're not sure, we get to the Word of God, we see what's truth, and when we compare this church or that church to the Word of God, we know what is right and what is wrong. Because there's a lot of people who are really close, could probably fool a lot of us in here. Just because they can fool us doesn't mean that they're right. Just because they can answer some questions correctly doesn't mean that they're right. You know what we need to do? Double check. Make sure. You know, when you go visit a New Testament church that's out there in this world that you're not familiar with, you know what you should do? Double check. Amen. Ask some questions. Amen. And ask questions before you get there. Right. If you're getting there and you figure it out, it's too late. Ask some questions. Do the best that you can. You know, people might lie to you. People might be dishonest with you. You can't help that. But you know what you can do? Do everything in your power to get the answer before it happens. Yeah. Because you know what happens when you go to a unscriptural New Testament church and you know it? Spiritual fornication. How scary is it to get spiritual fornication? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. You know, God puts that fornication in the same, you know, same breath as idolatry. I don't think he's talking about physical fornication there. I think he's very clearly talking about when Israel dabbled with spiritual fornication. We were an example this morning in Exodus 34 about... No. Yes, 34. Somewhere in there. 32. I have the paper on the other side. Exodus 32, where Israel made a golden calf and decided that's going to be our God. What was God's response to that? He wanted to kill them, wipe them out. Do you really think God is... Oh, it's okay nowadays. It's okay to commit spiritual fornication. It's okay to just, you know, dabble with whatever you want. It's okay with me. It's okay to go to a Catholic church on a Sunday morning. No, how many of us would just be in utter shock to know that one of us, if Brother Spencer came up one day and said, yeah, I was in church at a Catholic church on Sunday, how many of us would be completely shocked? How many of us have that same shock when we go to it, when someone goes to a scriptural or unscriptural New Testament church that's pretty close, but maybe they're a New Lighter church? Maybe they don't have proper lineage. Maybe they take wine for the Lord's Supper. Is it, oh, you know, as long as it's not Catholic, as long as they have Baptist in the name, as long as they're close enough, it's okay. You know, it shouldn't be like that, but how many of us say, it's okay? As long as I don't know, it's okay. Ignorance is not an excuse with God.
Amen.
Them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know better, then do better. If you're not sure, you know what, don't go. It's okay to not go on a vacation if you're not sure where you're going to go to church. It's okay to skip a vacation. It's okay. Also, it's okay to travel a long distance from your vacation to go to church somewhere.
Yeah.
Guess what? It depends on what you care about. Do you care about being right in the eyes of God or not? It's important to know what the truth is. And it's important to see where that truth goes. Turn to Matthew 28. It's important to know what truth is because it's not my truth, it's not your truth, it's God's truth. And if it's God's truth, it should be important to us because God should be important to us. Turn to Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Where do we get our commandments from? If it's not God's word, don't worry about the commandments of men.
Yeah.
It's got to be the word of God, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Whatsoever I've commanded you. Who's speaking here? It's red letters, Jesus Christ. If it's not what Jesus Christ commanded, you know what it's worth? Nothing.
Right.
It doesn't matter how good it sounds. Take it to the word of God. Because this is what we should base our entire belief system on. If it's not the word of God, then what are we doing here? That's one thing we have to understand as a New Testament church. If we start going and making our own rules, our own ideas, and thinking, it's okay, we can add a little bit of myself into God's word and how we do things, you know what we're doing? We're tainting a New Testament church.
Right.
We're taking it into error, and the closer, little bit here and there, you know what happens after a little bit? It starts taking over. You know what happens when you get a little bit of cancer in your body? If it goes unchecked, it can start taking over. You know what happens when you get a little bit of poison in your body? It can kill you at the end. That's what happens with the false doctrines. Turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13. We, as a New Testament church, have a job to do to make sure we know what the truth is and to stand for the truth and to make sure that our body is protected from false doctrine. And when false doctrine comes in, you know whose job it is to make sure it gets taken care of? The church's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the teacher's job. It's not the deacon's job. It is a church's job to do it. Because you know what happens? If it's everybody else's job, what happens when that person leaves? If it's always Brother Roger's job to make sure to stand up for truth, what happens when he's not able to do it anymore? What happens when this church doesn't have a pastor? What do? We just take whatever the next person's going to say? Just take whatever they say. It's okay. We'll bring whatever it is. We just got to get somebody. It's our job. You know, again, Acts 20, 28. Yes, a pastor's job is to feed. You know whose job it is to make sure that they are getting the right word fed to them? It's the church's job. Because you know what? Some pastors aren't always correct. Some pastors have been the issue in a church that has to get taken care of. If we just take everything that what some man says and not get into the Word of God and see for ourselves, you know who's going to be held responsible? We are. Nehemiah 13, verse 23. And in those days also I saw the Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to their language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. First Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as with the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then Solomon built a house, a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, and the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my commandment and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. You want to know what happens when you start dabbling in false truth, when you start thinking, it's okay to take here and there. Same thing that happened to Solomon. He thought it was okay to take a little bit here and there. Solomon left God completely. Solomon went from building the house of God, the temple, to building all these false idols. Solomon went from being a great man of God to verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. You realize that Solomon talked to God at least twice here. Solomon was the one that prayed the prayer, the dedication, the glory of God filled the temple. That was Solomon, same guy. We find here he got turned to idols. Why? Because he let it slip here and there. What happens if we start letting the truth of God slip here and there, little by little? Guess what? We're going to start building abominations, idols into abominations, altars. We're going to start taking whatever you want. You know what? Your good works will save you. Your baptism will save you. Your, I don't know, fill in the blank of whatever false doctrine you want to accept, whatever heresy. You know, there's only one God. There's no Trinity out there. It doesn't matter. God didn't create everything. Evolution was how it got happened. You know, it's crazy. We think, oh, that's never going to happen to us. You really think Solomon, when he was building the temple, ever thought, I'm going to turn my heart to these idols. I can't wait to get there. No, none of us ever think it's going to happen, and then we start letting things slip, and it happens to us. We have to be prepared. Turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed unto their heads, saith the Lord God. Is this going to happen to us? Verse 30. God looked for a man. No one would be willing to stand in the gap. Is this going to happen to us one day? You know, a little bit longer, we start letting false doctrine in, we start letting things slip, we stop caring as to holding to the truth of God, until somebody comes in and God's looking around saying, is anybody going to stand up? And no one's willing to stand up. We'll just take whatever's out there. I hope and pray it never happens to this church. It's happened to a lot of churches. You want to know how to keep it from happening? we have to take the responsibility and understand what a privilege it is to be a member of New Testament church, to understand what a privilege it is to have a scriptural New Testament church, and put the work in that we're supposed to do to hold on to that and keep it as best as we can for God. Okay. Ultimately, God's going to be the one that protects and provides for his church, but we have a job to do to make sure that we uphold the truths of his doctrine. And if we're not going to do it, guess what? Don't be surprised in 5, 10 years, in 1 year. You know, churches have gone from scriptural to unscriptural in a year. Churches have gone from as big as could possibly be, strong as could be, to accepting a twice married preacher in just a matter of time. It will never happen to us. Everybody at one point probably said that, and it happened to them. We have to be careful. But turn to Colossians chapter 2. How do we do, or sorry, we're not going to go there. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. We have to get into the word of God and understand what it actually says. We can't just take our ideas. We can't just take, well, this person said this and that's good enough for me. You know, there's a lot of people who have a lot of weird ideas about the word of God. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of God's people that have a lot of weird ideas about what the Word of God says. You can't just take what their ideas say. You got to get into the Word of God because sometimes there might be false prophets. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Turn to 2 John. 2 John, verse 7. For as many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You know what's going to happen if we're not willing to stand? If we don't know the truth, we'll start accepting anything and everything. Okay. We got to know what the truth of God is. That means you got to get in there and study. You have to have the Holy Spirit as comforter to guide you into that truth and know what actually is the truth. And if it's not truth, get it out of here. You know, it says, bid him Godspeed. You know, if you just say, good luck, go out there, have fun. You're not supposed to even do that. You know, if someone comes up to your, you know, we had some Mormons come up to our door the other day talking about prophecies and everything like that. You know, I did my best in 5-second conversation to tell them that miracles and things aren't needed anymore because we got the completed word of God. You know what would have happened if I just said, yeah, that's right, go ahead, have a great day. You know, I just accepted some false religion into my life. I made a mistake right there. You know what happens when someone comes up here and starts spewing nonsense and starts giving false doctrine and we just say, okay, that's good enough. Go ahead. We agree with you. That puts us in danger because you know what? It's just the first time it might sound a little funny. The second time it might sound a little less funny. Third time we might just accept it for what it says because we don't know. You all know my people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. It says in Nahum, I think it is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You want to know how churches are destroyed? Lack of knowledge. Because they stop caring. You don't want to know why they stop caring? Because they don't understand what a privilege it is to have a New Testament church. They don't understand what a privilege it is to meet with God 3 times a week. He doesn't understand what a privilege it is to be able to freely come and worship and give God glory today. What a privilege it is to know that I am a sinner as evil as can be. And Jesus Christ still wants to meet with me in this presence. He wants me in his presence. How amazing is that? Do you understand what a privilege it is to have a New Testament church and to be a member of it? Or is it just old hat? It's just something we're used to. It's not that big of a deal to us. I don't care. You might not say the words, I don't care. In your heart, you know if you care or not. And guess what? God knows if you care or not. So do you actually care about this? Turn to Joshua chapter 1. You know, we talked about it, the privilege it is to have the Word of God, and we're not going to look at all the verses, but it's amazing. You know, we Psalm 133 says, Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. You want to know where that unity comes from? It comes from the Word of God. You know how amazing it is to show up and just have a bunch of people agreeing with you, to go to some random church you've never been to and hear the exact same thing preached that you hear every single Sunday? How amazing it is to sit there and, you know, maybe have a question with somebody, come back a couple weeks later, talk about it, and have the exact same answer figured out? You know how amazing it is to have the unity of God? You know where we get that? From the Word of God. That is what makes us unified. That's what makes us special. Nothing else is going to make us unified and one accord in unity with God, except His Word. Because there's, you know, I don't always agree with everybody out here. Brother Bryce, he's a terrible Rams fan. I don't like him. I don't agree with him. You know that doesn't matter in the house of God. Right. Outside doesn't matter when you get into God's house. As long as me and him agree on the doctrines, that's all I need. Right. That is my brother in Christ. And as long as we have unity with God, that's all I care about. Yeah. Is that what you care about, or is everybody's personality more important? It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what's out there. As long as you have the Word of God, we should always be in unity with one another. And how blessed is that to have that, to know, to come out from the world, come out from the lies and the hypocrisy and the evil out there, come into God's house and just have a little bit of peace, knowing we're talking about God's Word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide of it for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God made this promise to Joshua. You know what? These promises are just as true to us today. That if we stay in the Word of God, He'll make our lives okay. He'll take care of us. We will follow the Word of God. And look, verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You will see here, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know when God starts leaving us? When we leave Him first. When we start going away from God. You want to stay with God? Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the truth and understand. You want to know where God at? He is right here 3 times a week. You want to be a part of that? Get saved, get baptized, and join the New Testament church. If you have not felt the fellowship of God in a long time, get your heart right and understand how amazing it is to have unity with God in this New Testament church. And understand how precious it is, but how fragile a New Testament church is too. Because it does not take a whole lot to start killing New Testament churches. You look back at our history, it did not take a whole lot to start killing some churches off. You look at the church at Ephesus, we read about its origin. How many years later till it was almost on the verge of getting destroyed, getting taken out? Church of Samaria is no longer here. Church of Jerusalem had thousands, multitudes of members, probably close to 10,000 members. It's not here anymore. There's a lot of churches that got to the point where they stopped caring. They let the false doctrine come in. They let the truth slip, and they started taking whatever they wanted. You know, that's going to be us if we don't stick to the Word of God. That's going to happen to us if we're not putting the work in to understand what a true New Testament church is. It should matter to us. It should matter, and we should care about it. But how many of you actually care about it tonight? How many of you care about it this week? How many of you live your life thinking, when can I get to the Word of God again? When can I be in His church again? When are we going to realize how amazing it is to be here? We talk about, oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. You know how to get to heaven, closer to heaven? Get into a church and get into fellowship with God and understand when He meets with us, that's exactly what heaven's going to feel like. Now it's going to be pretty cool because we're going to see Him face to face. I don't get to see my Savior face to face right now, but I get to feel His presence. Yeah. Do you feel God's presence here tonight? Mm-hmm. If you don't, it's on you because church is assembled to get here. Two or three are gathered together in my name, they're in mine, in the midst of Him. Jesus Christ is here. Why aren't you feeling him in your presence? Let's all stand. Pianist and song leader, come. What number shall we sing?
In 230.